Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Married at First Sight Australia, Season 11, Episodes 25 through to 28. Now, Chris, where would you like to start today?
Well, Dave, another cracking week. I think we're getting to like the final stages of it this upcoming week in the UK. I know it's finished over in Oz, but the commitment ceremony, Dave, is the start of the week, every episode. And it was the Tristan Cassandra thing, Dave. You know, we always call out the producers, but why from nowhere is Tristan going to say, I love you and I'm going to tell her. And then we then get Cassandra, who's, we see her right leave on the form. We've never seen that before, as far as I can remember in the shows we've covered. Completely producer-led. Tristan's telling everyone on the camera from nowhere, Dave. He's been so up and down. He's never felt like he's good enough for her. I've not believed anything to do with this couple since about the second week. And I do think, Dave, I'm throwing it out there, I think Cassandra's a low-key producer plant because she has played up to this to a T here. This doesn't, none of it sits right. It was like Tristan didn't know what was going on, or maybe he didn't. They asked him to do it. And then they went, what do you reckon, Cassandra? Can we do all this with you? And they filmed all this with her, knowing she knows the reaction she's going to get from Tristan because of the time they spent together, Dave. I just thought it was bullshit, if I'm being honest.
Well, right, okay. So I guess I saw it a bit differently. I mean, what I tend to think, the producer stuff, I mean, they've all got little teams, haven't they? Like, they're all whispering in their ear and, you know, or what if you did this? It's like, you know, evil Jiminy Cricket, basically, like forcing you, not forcing you to do things, advising you to do different things. But I kind of feel like they probably use about, I don't know, 10% of the footage that they shoot, maybe. I mean, we've talked about it before where I'd sooner they didn't have the weekends off. You know, I'd sooner it was more like a Big Brother thing where the camera crews are just following them around. But it seems like, no, they can disappear off to the gym. They can, you know, do their own thing. And then so, you know, you want people to be in that position where, you know, they forget the cameras are there, whereas it seems that they're there so infrequently that you can't forget that they're there. So you're not going to behave naturally, which I guess opens the question, why do some of them behave like See Next Tuesdays? But anyway, I don't know. I just feel like we'd never seen that. You're right. I don't recall ever seeing it where you know going into the commitment ceremony what someone's decision is going to be because you literally see them write it. I thought that was strange. But I can see that, you know, Tristan would completely misread everything. And the fact that, you know, he's so up in his own head, he's not really reading and seeing what's going on with Cassandra. Because I think that ship has long sailed. She was maybe in, you know, for the first couple of weeks. But, you know, it's been so chaotic, you know, and up and down that she's like, this isn't worth it. Like I say, maybe if they'd have been together for a few years and then he was a bit up and down, that's a different thing. But right at the start of that relationship, I just don't think, you know, he did enough. And so I was believing it that you could have this massive communication disconnect.
Yes, I agree. And I do think you're right. I think from the get-go, it's been nothing, has it? You look good on the wedding, the family, the dad and all that was doing good. But since then, she has a lot to deal with. I'll give you that. She has a lot to deal with because how he's passed the sort of mental health capacity test, I do not know. Because he's obviously so, you know, you've got fucking Jack there last week giving him that fucking friendship thing, protein fucking card, and basically saying, mate, you need to get in the gym, which I don't think he does. And he's done amazing to get where he is, and he should be happy in his skin. It's so difficult to feel like that. I can respect that completely and relate to it. But this just come from nowhere, Dave. And it's the way they filmed all the stuff with her, though. They physically gone to see her and filmed over her shoulder writing, leave. You know, like every week she's put stay, and even though when they've had the troubles, and then she's decided this week to put leave. And I was like, this is bollocks. But it could be a discussion where she might have had it with the producers and said, look, I'm going to put leave. Oh, hang on a minute. And they know Tristan said he was going to say he loves her. Maybe I'm being too cynical, Dave. I just felt that we had the old puppet and a string job, and they were just controlling everything from afar. But anyway, it was good. It was good TV. And one of the shocks, Dave, I found in the commitment ceremony, more than anything, I was absolutely shocked by this. But Stephen and Michael have left, Dave. Absolutely devastated for that. It was because it was an absolute waste of time, wasn't it? Michael got, you know, absolutely done over in the first episode because his husband just didn't want to know, did the guy he was supposed to be paired up with. And then we knew he was going to come back, and he put him with Stephen, who was more interested in the guy who was doing his hair when he was there. There was nothing between them. However, I think Stephen redeemed himself with some cracking stuff at Sarah, but we'll talk about that. But yeah, what a waste of everyone's time that was.
Yeah, maybe that was the payoff. Maybe it was the some of the home truths to Sarah. Oh, fucking hell, yeah. You know what, Chris? I'd almost forgotten about Sarah on the commitment couch, but let's definitely come back to that.
Oh, we will.
Yeah. So Michael and Stephen, I mean, you kind of, obviously they do all the filming and then they edit it all together later. So because Michael had this kind of side story, this side plot, you're thinking, oh, this has got to lead up to something. There's got to be some sort of payoff here, because, you know, I'm sure it happens on reality shows all the time where, you know, someone drops out and, you know, it doesn't work out. But it's very rare that, you know, you'll see. I mean, we saw John, didn't we, go and have a word with him. Probably in real life, it'd just be a runner. Oh, sorry, you know,
yeah.
Hasn't worked out, you know, better luck next year. But yeah, it's just such a non-event, really, wasn't it? I mean, Stephen, again, he's got all these fucking trust issues or whatever. I do have to question a little bit. I'm thinking, you know, this, I'm getting the feeling, you know, when Sarah in the first couple of episodes is like, oh yeah, you know, she's struggling to get out of a relationship. I know just how, you know, bad that is and stuff. It's almost like he's protesting too much, Stephen. It's like, is your insecurity born out of the fact that you're a bit fucking flaky as well? Because that's kind of how he came across to me. So I was expecting something, Chris, expecting big things, and then it was just all a bit of a waste of time. And I'm thinking, oh, fucking hell, couldn't they have just edited Michael out of the bachelor party, or the what was it called? The book. So yeah, wasn't surprised to see them go at all.
No, I wasn't. And what about Finger then, Dave? Another couple, and they weren't actually last on this time, thank God, in the criticism, but Jack and Tori, you know, together, Dave, they're still, you know, still doubling down. And then, but John's just like, he's had enough. He's like, I'm not fucking having it. You know, he said that at one point, I'm lost for words. You know, he said all the stuff, the muzzle stuff, the partner swap stuff, the stuff you said to Tristan. And he did call him out. He went, you're a PT. And you should know to get. And then he said, I need to get my act together. But he never directly apologizes to anybody, does he? No. He throws out a general statement. And I've got to say, Dave, Jack is Jack, and Jack is a dickhead, a bellend, and he's fucking, he just loves himself. But I find myself so annoyed, and just, I do not like Tori at all. The way she doubles down, she is just Bronte 2.0. There is fucking nothing between them. When obviously, I might be wrong here because I know the show's already played out, but she is going to drop him like a stone when she realizes there's no traction keeping in the show with him, because he's treating her despicable, and she's just an absolute chasing that clout for the fucking followers and that. Absolute bullshit. And I find myself getting so frustrated with her, because no matter what he does, I think she's actually worse than Bronte now, Dave. I think she's just, you've not had sex, we're really sexual. No, you're not. He doesn't fancy her. He's got a girlfriend outside. That's why he's actually being loyal, which is weird for Jack because he's a cock. He's being loyal. He's not getting with you, Tori. It's no one's business. Well, you're on a show where Richard and Andy, you don't have to tell everyone you've had sex. Richard was fucking revealing it. Oh, we've done all sorts. You know, they're the oldest couple in the thing. I'm not saying there is nothing between them, and you're lying to us because you know full well you are both going to part ways at the end of the show, and that's what pisses me off about that girl.
Well, let's stick on Jack and Tori for a bit, because I mean they were big central characters to this week, weren't they? And honestly, I find her equally frustrating, I have to say, Chris, because Jack is, you know, he's an obvious bell end. But with Tori, it's less obvious. And I find that she's not just Bronte, she's kind of a mixture of Bronte. And do you remember Melissa and Bryce?
Oh, they got twins. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
But where it got to at the end with Tori, where she was just like, can everyone just get out of my business? Like, stop telling me all this shit. I don't know if you remember, but Melissa got to that point as well, where it was so clear, like, Bryce doesn't give a fuck about you, really. But her plan was all about just nabbing someone, you know, who wasn't, you know, too bad on the old genetic food chain. You know, he's kind of like, oh, he's got all his own teeth and stuff, you know, and he's a functioning guy. So, you know, he'll do kind of thing. So stop telling me all this shit because it's distracting from my plan. And I genuinely feel like, you know, her plan was to get with someone and have babies. So fair play. You've done that. I'm not sure in 10 years time, will they still be together? But, you know, good luck to him. I find Tori, like, utterly confusing, because at first I was thinking, you know, she's going for the Bronte play. But no, like, Chris, when it gets in the week and, you know, they have these letters exchanged and stuff like that, and then, you know, Jack drops in. Jack's, you know, she's a prime fucking narcissist gaslighter, isn't he? And he's just telling Tori enough to just keep her. He doesn't fancy her. But when under scrutiny, you know, it's, it's building or whatever. But when he drops in, oh, yeah, I'll be ready for kids in a couple of years. And Tori's getting all fucking goo-eyed. Ooh, I'm a planner. You know, I'm going to have to plan things. You know, ooh, a couple of years away. I'm like, fuck off. And all of these things, Chris, that she talks about, like, you know, how strong and independent she is, I just find it all bullshit. And it's just, honestly, she looks so silly to me. She looks ridiculous, and I'm sure she's watching this, not being particularly happy. I'm sure she'll blame the edit. I'm sure she'll say, you know, she's had a bad edit or whatever, but it's like, well, you say this shit. You know, so it's up to the producers and editors how they want to construct it, but, you know, there is a library full of shit that Jack has done that are all the red flags. And if you can't fucking see that and you're prepared to ignore them all, well, you sort of deserve everything you've got coming to you.
I totally, totally agree. And you're right. And it gets me fucking back up when she does that hand thing, can I just say? And then she does all this, like, she's dead expressive. And we know it's bollocks. And what gets me, though, Dave, it's like Jack wants kids in 2 years. Well, I'll tell you what, Tori, in 2 years' time, Jack is still not going to be fucking slept with you. So is this just the one time he's going to sleep with you? You're hoping that you get pregnant because, you know, fucking, if you've not done biology, there's got to be a bit of intimacy with you. It's not just like, you know, a one and done home run, you'll get pregnant. It's bullshit. Absolute fucking bullshit. And I don't know what it is.
Waiting for immaculate conception.
Yeah, I mean, is it one of them where Jack is absolutely just teasing her all the time? They're at the point where they're about to fucking sleep together and he just walks off or something. I don't know. I don't get it because they're not even touchy-feely, are they? They're not even like, there's no intimacy between them. You watch Ridge and Jade. You watch even Lucinda and Timothy this week, but you watch some of the other couples where there is a bit of like Jade and Eden. There is that couple vibe in that you can sit their arms around each other, everything. Jack never reassures her. And I cannot believe that anybody would want to put up, like you said, she's got a catalog. There's a catalog of things he's done, speaking to people, he's acted, the shadiness. Why would you want to be associated with someone like that? She's constantly embarrassed, and that's why you just think, you are here for the clout. You're not here for anything. And Jack is a fucking dick, Dave. I mean, Lauren at one point this week was even saying, has he got a fucking wig on? I was like, well, that's a bit fucking harsh, even if he has. But she hates him.
I'm sure we've said worse, to be fair.
Well, probably. But just, and then John and that's just like, I'm not having it. I'm not buying this bullshit. I'm not having it. They make him accountable. And she even sort of bites back at them. And I'm like, what world are you living? Are you as horrible as him that you cannot see it? Is his fucking, what he's offering you, you know, so important to you? Because it's not. You're on a fucking reality TV show, and that's the end. She'll be on Love Island, Dave, Love Island Australia, probably next series, the end of this year or something. It's utter, but I just find it so frustrating when she starts mouthing off. But then someone did say in the chat, and it's a good point, does Timothy like her? Because by the end of the week, he was sort of like, yeah, I really, you know, I respect Tori and that. And I'm thinking, well, you two fucking hate each other. You know, like, is it because I don't know.
Classic rom-com stuff, though.
Well,
isn't it,
yeah, you know, those who doff protest. But yeah, one of the most frustrating couples I've seen on this show, Dave. Just utter bollocks when they come on the screen.
Yeah, and the thing is, the thing where it made me think, okay, maybe this is more of a Melissa type situation than it is a Bronte type thing, is it all stemmed from this conversation. Random conversation, Chris, in a cafe, you know, just happened to have the producers and the camera crew there. But, you know, Jade, weirdly, you know, so everyone else gets like couples advice, but
no,
you have this one-on-one discussion with Jade and Jack, weirdly. So, and Jack's fully putting on his flirt, isn't he? And then I don't know if it's real time. It looks like they've probably edited in some, you know, expressions where Jack's coming on a bit strong and Jade's sort of like looking like he's just farted or something. And so I think, you know, Jade sort of let that slip and Tori's like, yeah, I just don't care. Everyone who, you know, thinks they've got my back or whatever, you know, just fuck off, basically. I do think that there is definitely something in that about Timothy fancying Tori as well. I just think he probably does go for the younger women, doesn't he? So, you know, I suspect that could be a thing. But yeah, you know, blatantly, they've not slept together, Tori and Jack. He's literally, you know, flirting with one of the, you know, one half of one of the strongest couples in there, to be fair. And she's just not asked. And honestly, Chris, I feel like it, rather than the kids and everything, I feel like it's a status thing. I think she's probably deep down got some real fucking insecurity complex. So she's fighting for that status. And so she's willing to overlook all of these shitty things with Jack because, you know, he does have a body chiseled from granite completely naturally, I'm sure. But spends all his time in the gym, so he's literally a boring fucker. You know, he's got nothing to talk about. You know, he's like that other guy from the UK Maths. Oh, you know, was it Matt?
I
was in the gym and I was trying to lift some weights and then I dropped one. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, wow.
You do have some rich stories to tell. Go on, spin us another yarn.
Yeah, I picked up a 10K dumbbell, but the other, my right hand, had a fucking 12K. Yeah. Oh, my God, imagine the fucking balance in my butt, my muscles. Wow.
Oh, we laughed.
What fun we did have on that day. I mean, you know what, Dave? That Jade thing with Jack was bullshit, though. I mean, you know, in my opinion, I probably think she's probably the prettiest girl on the show, Jade. And you've got Jack there. And it was like the producers are going, we're going to weed you out here. We know you're bullshitting us.
Entrapment.
We're going to send in Jack. Because from nowhere, that is the most odd. You know, you would have sent Timothy to go with Jack, wouldn't you? Or Lucinda. Or, you know, someone who's been at loggerheads. Or Jade. I mean, Eden and Jaden. Haven't really, but they're mates of them. But you would have someone who's gone against them, wouldn't you? Like they did with Sarah and Jaden. Yeah. You know, like he went at her and didn't fuck about. And it just seemed so fucking bizarre that that was just like, you are absolutely trying to get him to fucking commit some sort of fuck. And he was flirty with her. He was like, oh yeah, you're one of the nicest girls, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, we know what you're up to, Jack. We know full well if you had a chance, you probably would try and get in there with Jade. That's what he is. He's a blagger, isn't he? I mean, you say about his body, Dave. He's got a great body. He has. He's in the gym, blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying any more about that body, but that's all I'm saying. The cough was on purpose. I don't like him. I think Tori, she needs to have a bit of respect for herself. If she does like him, I don't understand it. I just don't think he's a nice person outside and inside. Yeah. And yeah, he's perfect for this show because we need to fucking talk about these bell ends, don't we? But fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. So, no, Dave.
Sorry, just before we move off, I think who we have missed a little bit this week is Lauren. Because obviously she's got some medical problems, so she, you know, she's stepped away for a bit. But, you know, before she disappeared, she was quite, you know, she's good at when they take him off to talk to the camera, they do the old talking heads and stuff, and she talks about his man bum wig.
Fucking leprechaun, she called him and everything.
The fact that he's fucking purple.
She laid into him, didn't she?
Yeah, she's the hero we deserve.
She's amazing.
But yeah, an amazing couple. But I think, Chris, I kind of want to talk about Timothy and Sarah, but I guess we're talking about Tori and Jack. Let's talk about Timothy and Lucinda, because they had an interesting week as well, didn't they? So, you know, again, when it all started to, well, it started to thaw a bit last week, didn't it, on the retreat. And then obviously they're doing this couple's advice. Now, I must admit, there's times when I do empathize with Tim, because he's like, I'm going to get fucking advice from Ridge. I'm going to get relationship advice from this kid. I mean, come on. So, you know, obviously they were playing that up a bit. And, you know, Ridge, to be fair, does seem quite switched on. He surprised me a little bit because he did come across like complete frat boy, didn't he? But he does seem to have some kind of emotional intelligence. But, you know, I don't know whether he was doing it on purpose or maybe producer-led, but just dropping in there that, you know, Jack thinks they're fake and there's nothing happening with that couple at all. You know, if this was a normal setting, I mean, you'd just be like, oh, fucking hell, I don't want to get involved in that. You know?
Yeah.
You know, Jack said this shitty thing. Why the hell would I pass that on and just antagonize someone? But you could see there that Timothy, like, it's almost like Jack's his nemesis, isn't it? And so I thought it was quite funny, actually. It almost proved to be this bonding moment, you know, because we haven't really seen Lucinda be a bit mischievous. You know, she's been very groovy, very calm, very, you know, positive about everything. But when they're doing the whole bullshit detective's letter and stuff, you know, you got to see them having a bit of fun together. And then at the dinner party, they're kind of laughing and joking. And then, you know, when just ultimately being a bit silly together. So, I mean, I'm almost hopeful. I'm like, you know, Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber, where it's like, so you're saying there's a chance. I think that is still a long shot chance, but I think it's not zero with this couple now. What do you reckon?
No, I think you're right. I think, like, and there's been stuff come out, and I know the show's finished in Australia, but Timothy's whole backstory mentioned about, like, you know, the situation with his dad and all this thing, but he ended up, he was in jail. And the reason this situation, the guilt with his mum and his brother, was they both passed away when he was in jail in 2006, you know, so it's all come out afterwards. But this obviously he didn't want to use it in the show, or he didn't find it appropriate, but it would have given us a bit of context behind him as a person. Because as this has gone on, I mean, Lucinda has done a great job at breaking them walls down for him, and just for him being expressive, he's crying, and he's like he's an emotional wreck. But I do like that he goes at people, you know, and especially Jack, and that's a fucking idiot. But, you know, but I do think with them, there is a chance. But I also think, Dev, I will say this, I think Lucinda's a lovely person. But can you imagine living with someone who sits you down and does these, like, long drawn out monologues when you're just watching the football or you're watching, you know, I can sort of, not that I'm sympathizing with, because I think Lucinda's lovely. I think she's had a lot to put up with, but can you imagine 24/7 instead of saying like, "Hi, Lucinda, would you like a cup of tea or a coffee?" She's like, "Well, actually, let's just talk about how are you spiritually feeling today? How's your chi? How, you know," I can imagine that would wear you down after a fucking few days, Dave. You know, that I think that is probably where Timothy just wants an easy life, and that's it. I'm not saying it's justified because he's treated her appallingly through this, and we've quite rightly called him out, but I can just see that she's broke him down, because if it was me, I don't think she means to. But you know, like when he was doing stuff at like the dinner party and the commitment ceremony, and she's like, it almost feels condescending the way she speaks to him. Do you know what I mean? Like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, it's great that, yeah, we've had a breakthrough," or whatever. And I'm like, I genuinely, even me, who's like so plastic, I'd be like, "Please just shut up." You know what I mean? Like, "I thank you. I appreciate your help. But just give it a rest sometimes." I think that's probably, as he's breaking himself down a little bit and we're breaking him down, that's what I see, is Lucinda's heart's in a good place. He's such a nice person, but I can imagine that would get you down a little bit over the time. However, amazing job that they're at this stage of like being affectionate, and he's been affectionate. And then he went off, didn't he? They did the kiss thing and it seemed to trigger him, and he'd gone on it completely. And he even said, to be fair, he went, "I'm here calling out all these people and I'm probably the most broken person in here." And you've been a bit, basically, yeah, he's been a bit of a hypocrite. So a brilliant week for them as a couple, but I can sort of see a little bit now from Timothy's side, which I never thought I could. And someone said to us last week, "The lads, I mean, a Christian day forward a little bit to Timothy." But I think because he's been a bit more honest, yeah, it doesn't forgive his behavior earlier in the series at all. That was completely wrong. However, we're at this stage where he actually is turning into someone I'm sort of rooting for, and him and Lucinda as a couple.
Yeah, that kiss really, I mean, it was a little peck, wasn't it? But it really seemed to break something in him. And, you know, I hope it's a positive thing. I mean, you mentioned, yeah, about the stuff with him being in prison. And look, I'll share with the listeners, I sort of said, so apparently it was, you know, what was it? He was a helicopter pilot, you know, basically, yes, smuggling stuff across the Canadian border into the US. And I'm like, you know what? If you're going to go to prison, seems like a cool thing. I mean, I am not promoting, you know, I don't think you should do that. You should play the right side of the law. But if you're going to go to prison for something, I mean, there's much worse things than that. And does strike me as being a bit of a cool kind of crime.
Well, there's a Tom Cruise film on a similar character day. Was it based on Timothy? It's only out a few years ago. Same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a drug mule, a pilot. And I don't know if it was for Escobar or whatever, but he basically, it's a great film if you get to see it. It's only about 3 or 4 years old, but it's a cracking film. But yeah, same thing. Getting a lot of money just piloting drugs across the border.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah,
obviously not absolving him of anything.
No.
It's
no,
funny,
no.
You know, you're saying about Lucinda. I think you're right. I mean, can you imagine, like, you're watching the football and, like, you're fucking losing in the 80th minute or something, and she says, like, "Do you think they'd just do better if they scored a goal?" You know, so, something like that. It's just like, "Look, not now, please. Not now.
why is the manager? Why is he so red, the manager? He needs to get his blood pressure test, doesn't he? I think we need to have a look at that. Is he okay? What's his background? Like, just leave me alone. We're getting beat. Leave me alone." So, yeah, just what I mean. Break stuff down in such a good way. I can imagine that sometimes you just like, "Please just leave me alone." You know what I mean? So I'm really rooting for him, Dave. I don't think they're going to be together at the end of it, you know, or after the show. But either way, I've liked their journey as a couple, and I've liked how patient Lucinda has been as well with him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Lucinda as a personality, I think will do well out of this series, whether they stay together as a couple. But I kind of feel like, you know, we generally have seen that kind of personal growth from Timothy, you know, and again, just addressing some of these things, you know, it's quite horrible what he's been through. Like, say, his dad had just passed away, basically told him he didn't like him and stuff. And I you can see all of that stuff is going to weigh pretty heavy on anyone. But yeah, so being that kind of cynical arsehole in the corner to actually having some breakthroughs, it's been interesting to watch. But let's see, Chris, let's see. I do think there is a bit of a chance. Now, Chris, I'll tell you where there isn't a fucking chance, or there shouldn't be a chance, is Timothy and Sarah. What do you reckon to those two?
Fucking hell. So Sarah got a comeuppance, didn't she, in the current ceremony? Start of the week, you know, called out for being a liar. At the dinner party the week before, she doubled down. Well, you've all cheated. And she went on and on and on. It all went from every stage of emotion. And obviously the experts are watching, like, she just needs to take accountability. And what made me laugh is when John had a go at her, and then she just went, what was the question? No, the question is, Sarah, you're a cheat. You've been caught. And for me, Dave, and I'm sure people watching, you know, if you've been cheated on, she's the type of person that will trigger a lot of people, because she's going down fighting. She's going down with a Titanic with her story, even though it's a lie. And all this stuff about her ex cheating on her and all this, I don't believe it, Dave. I don't believe it. Having seen what she's done to Tim, I don't think he's cheated on her. I think she's fucking, this is my opinion, so I've been called out for this sort of thing in the past, Dave. If Sarah contacts me,
she's been cheating all about town.
She's been throwing it around town willy-nilly, Dave. Like I said that randomly once. Anyway, but she's a bullshitter, Dave. She's absolutely a liar. She's one of the worst people you can meet. And even now, she's probably still cheating on him, or the context of the show as we're watching it, she's still probably contacting her ex. She's utter despicable. And John laid into her and he said, what's this message? And all the things come out. And what gets me though, Dave, is that gormless fucking look she has when everyone's attacking her and she knows she can't go back with anything. And I'm being kind when I say gormless look. I'm not saying what I say, Dave. It's nice, but she's not a good person whatsoever. And I think that she got called out and everything was correct at that point. And I thought, right, good. But then John gives her a fucking out. What are you going to do? Yeah. No, get your bags and fuck off. You've been cheating on Tim all fucking this whole show. Look, everyone on this show's got their own angle why they're here, but she's only interested in staying on the show. And it was great that she got a comeuppance. But by the end of the week, Dave, I was so fucking frustrated with her. But I know we'll talk about it in a bit. But I mean, what did you think about all that nonsense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how Tim can actually trust her ever again. I mean, especially, I guess he was out of the room, wasn't he, when she was at the dinner party last week and she was trying to explain things, and then she'd throw out a little lie and then, you know, people would call her out on it. You know, so like, you know, oh, my ex is, you know, not with, they've just broke up. You know, he's not in a relationship. Well, I see they are in a relationship, but all you lot have cheated on someone. You know, she just kept kind of throwing out these little lies, trying to soften the blow, and then it turned out to be bullshit. And I just, that's going to be a personality trait. I don't even think that is something she'll learn from, to be honest, because to learn from something, you have to actually fucking embrace the fact that you fucked up. You know, not just because you got caught. And that's ultimately all this is. She's just so animated because she's got caught. The worst bit of the whole thing, though, Chris, was, you know, she's been told that Tim, you know, feels afraid, basically, to bring things up. And, you know, Jaden thinks he's a fucking expert now, doesn't he? He's a supplemental expert in the group. So he's piped up more than most in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, Tim started to explain something, or he started to basically express how he felt. And she sat at the end of the sort of couch, you know, so she's in attack mode, you know, and she's going after the group and everything. And then she holds up her finger to Tim and say, I've not finished yet, you know. And it's like, fucking hell, Tim, you better fear for International Women's Day, because there is going to be a fucking strap on. You're going to take a pound in sunshine. So no, honestly, I just feel like Tim should have walked, even though Sarah, very predictable. I think we said last week, you know, that Sarah would say stay. so they'd have to stay. And then obviously she's on the charm offensive then, isn't she? She's probably, you know, they're probably active in the bedroom, let's put it that way. And so Tim's like, you know, oh, and all is great again now. So, but I just think it just showed her up to be quite a despicable character. I agree.
Yeah, and I think as well, Dave, she's played on the fact, and you're right, she's played on the fact with Tim that he's so sort of, he's non-confrontational, is he? He's been cheated on in the past. She knows all this, and she sort of played all this to her advantage. And sometimes with these couples, Dave, they've done it now and again. They should just kick them off, shouldn't they? I know they've done it, and they'll, you know, someone will come back or whatever. Or we've had it where like Matt come back, didn't he, with that other girl in the UK one? You know, they weren't with the right person.
Oh, Whitney.
Whitney, and he was with Gemma, wasn't he? He was a fucking a sex maniac, and he just, you know, they just didn't work.
According to the edit.
Well, according to the edit, yeah. But with Sarah, she just, it's the lies. Instead of just saying, yeah, I've done it, we know it's not right, she eats it, gets a bit of humble pie, she carries it on, and I just don't trust her. She's just a liar. She's obviously done this all her life, this sort of like snidey fucking underhand tactics. I mean, she said over and over about her ex being this person. I guarantee that her ex, Dave, wasn't half as bad as what she's been saying. I'm not excusing it, because if he was, then it's wrong. But that doesn't give you the excuse. I think the story's just Jack and Ori bullshit. And it was fucking brilliant, like the way John and that, they just laid into it. It was sort of like, you know, it's not to bully her or anything like that, but it's like, you can't do this shit. And then she's doing the old classic, I've took full ownership. No, you've been watching too many Tony Robbins fucking videos on YouTube about accountability. You're saying all the buzzwords, but you're not doing anything. You're just saying it because you're trying to make everyone else leave you alone, because she's not going to do anything to ownership at all. And by the end of the week, I was like, Tim, you're a cock.
I hate it. I honestly, one of my pet hates is that thing where they throw out buzzwords, you know. So I don't think I heard her say it this week, but, you know, maybe she could have said, I'm speaking my truth.
which just happens
to be bullshit. But she comes out, you're absolutely right about how she's taking accountability, but then goes on to explain and basically try and pacify everyone with bullshit stories and excusing herself of it. So, yeah, you know what, Chris, though, I'm going to not try and psychoanalyze based on an edited TV show, but I think Tim has a self-esteem problem.
Yes.
Because for me, this, you know, he'd said about his ex-girlfriend had cheated lots of times. Or was that Jaden, actually? Maybe I'm mixing up the two. I think they both had similar kind of backstories. And I think, actually, I'm thinking of Jaden, where it's multiple times that he made sure to emphasize that. But I think Tim was just sort of cheated on. But I suspect, again, that was probably a case of she'd done it and then maybe he'd kind of overlooked that, you know, and he's, you know, for 90% of the rest of the relationship, you know, the 10% being the cheating, the 90% is not bad, you know, so we'll stick together with that. Because by the end of the week, I mean, he seems quite okay with everything. And I'm just like, that should just be a shut door. Like you've gone past that point. And like I say, how can you come back from that level of betrayal and the lack of accountability through actions, not words? I just think you don't really come back from that. But obviously she's putting on the charm offensive, you know, so it's easy to do in the short term, isn't it? But it's a matter of time before they split up again. Or rather, she starts off with the little lies, and then, you know, she'll gaslight him into thinking he's a bit bonkers because he's questioning her. You know, what did you reckon, actually, Chris, when Jaden was going after Sarah and saying about the messages, you know, are they there or have you deleted them? Did you think that she'd actually deleted those messages?
She fucked. She got up and left, didn't she? She did the usual and just run off and then tried to say, like, as if Jaden was being unreasonable. And that's what I said about, circling back slightly, the Jack and Jade fucking meet-up. Bullshit. That was just a fucking trap to see if Jack had fucking, you know, being even more of a wanker. But yeah, with Jaden, it was the right person to go at her and speak about it and stick up for Tim, because you're right, he's got this low self-esteem, Tim. He doesn't have a voice. Jaden cares about him. He's not having it. I do think Jaden needs to shut his mouth, Dave, in some respects. I'm not going to tell him this, obviously, but because he's getting involved in everyone.
By the way.
Yeah, that was Chris, Dave. But he's getting involved in every fucking, everyone's relationship. He's got something to say, hasn't he? You know, he's gone from not speaking when John had a go at everyone saying you should have stuck up the other week. That's not acceptable, to now fucking not shutting up. And he doesn't like Sarah. He knows she's a liar. I do question, though, Dave, because obviously, you know, does he now turn around and say to Tim, tell you what, Tim, you know what would be the perfect thing to do?
Oh, God. Find out
who her best mate is and sleep with her and teach her a lesson, because I did that. And look where I am. I'm not even with that girl now, but I had a great time. Then maybe he's told Tim to do that. Maybe he wants Sarah's phone so he can contact her best mate and say, look, I've got a plan to bring them back together, but involves you sleeping with Tim while she watches.
We'll make sure Jack isn't in earshot, because we'll be trying to palm Tori off.
Maybe that's it. Maybe Tim's got to watch. Sam's got to watch. This is bad.
Oh, this is so wrong.
This is so wrong. No, let's not. Let's. But anyway,
honestly, I was kind of willing Jaden to say, show me your fucking phone then. You know, you failed the phone challenge at the time, but all cards on the table, let's do it now. And I just felt like he swallowed the what I think is a lie, where she said, oh, I've deleted the messages. Because that little pause, she was thinking, which way do I go with this?
Yeah, I'm fucked.
You know? Do I just take it that, yeah, I deleted them, so no one asked to see the messages? Yeah, let's go with that one, because I can take one for the team. I can sort of say and explain, oh, yeah, obviously I did feel bad about it, so I deleted them. I just thought it was bullshit. And that was my only criticism of when Inspector Poirot Jaden was going after it there. That, you know, he said, come on, Columbo wouldn't have fallen for this. He'd have said, show me your phone. If mobile phones existed when Columbo was around.
Well, you say Poirot, Dave. He did go full on fucking the weirdest fucking moustache he had at the start of the week. And by the end of the week, that bumfluff had fucking gone. And so maybe he was going full character Poirot, wasn't he? You know, just, oh, Columbo, I've got one more thing to say. Just one more thing, you know.
I don't agree with that in the workplace.
Eric Hitchmo,
Coventry Conference.
Yeah, conference from what I led. He never even spoke like he did. Yeah, he did. I don't believe that in the word, mate. Right, anyway, just me and you indulging ourselves in more office talk. So I just fucking despair, Dave. And obviously, by the end of the week, I was just like, Tim doubled down, didn't he, at the fucking dinner party, and then sort of laid into everyone who's been protected, in classic case of manipulation by Sarah. She's now this doe-eyed, I'm in love with him. She couldn't fucking stand the sight of him before. Obviously, as we've just said, the cheating, but now, you know, it's almost like she's in a reality show, Dave, and she needs it to get more followers on fucking Instagram or TikTok, whatever bullshit she's fucking. And oh, and he's like, oh, we've seen a real change. Oh, fucking bet we have, Tim. I bet we have. He's an absolute fucking muppet for going along to this, Dave. It really is silly. Just again, it goes back to what you said. You're so right. It's a self-respect thing and the belief in himself.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, you know, we say about the followers and generally, so in the UK, it's Love Island, isn't it? That's the premier show to get onto. In the US, it tends to be The Bachelor and Bachelorette. That's what gets you the most followers. But, you know, Sarah might get some followers, but I'm trying to avoid, you know, any kind of spoilers or anything. But I can't imagine she's the most loved person in Australia.
No.
You know, it must be coming off quite badly. I mean, in terms of everyone, I mean, Tory, you know, is frustrating, but Sarah is just nasty in a completely different way. So I don't know how well she'll do out of this one.
No, and that's a good point. That's a good point, to be fair, Dave. It really is. But then again, Dave, you've always got the edit. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a bad edit. But the thing is, like, that Olivia, you know, I don't think she ended up doing OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, after slacking Dominique off. Yeah, yeah.
I do think, you know, it does affect their lives as well, and not necessarily in a positive way. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
No, exactly. And what about Dave? So one of the other couples this week was Richard, and so he calls her Andy, Andrea. Now I'm going to throw a little statement out there, Dave, and I've got a feeling that we may disagree with that. Richard is a dick. He's blamed her at every opportunity. It's her fault. When he talks to the group, he revealed about the sex life. He gives too much away. You know, he's saying too much stuff there, and he's just, some things you've just got to rein it back. And this is coming from someone who always fucking opens his big gob and puts my foot in it. I'm always getting told off by Sam for that. Why have you said that? Just, you know, so I do get it. But he can't see he's done anything wrong. And I couldn't work out by the end of the week whether Andrew's been playing a game anyway for the show, and because obviously there was a few times where she whacked the table. It was frustration. I can't imagine living with someone like that. But their relationship is dead. But then I'm thinking, is she just playing a game as well? Is this why this whole thing's fell down? Is Richard telling us the truth? I just couldn't work out what was going on by the end of the week. It was just so bizarre. But I just think he's off the charts with some of the things he thinks are wrong in their relationship. He cannot even self-evaluate.
No, and you know, often there's like a bit of blame one way or the other. You know, there's a shared percentage. You know, it might lean one way or the other, but I think with this one, I don't quite see it that way with Andy. I don't think she's done anything wrong. Like, you know, for me, when she's slamming the table, fucking hell, I was almost slamming the table at home and I'm just watching it, Chris. I'm not actually there. But when I've said from week one, there's something off about him, like just the immature way that he acts. It's just, you know, and it's like he's this child trapped in an old man's body, but he just doesn't see himself that way. And no, he just doesn't listen to what he's being told. And she's saying about the fucking oversharing and stuff. And then he's just saying, the problem is your trauma from all of your past relationships and the stuff. And it's like, no, you're being a dick right now. That's got fuck all to do with anything that's happened in the past. Oh yeah, that's the trauma speaking, that is. Oh, fuck off. Honestly, I found him so frustrating. And then, like I say, he's just sulking like a fucking grumpy teenager or something, you know. And then, you know, it'll turn on the waterworks. Why the fuck they have said stay is beyond me. I mean, you can't even say, is it the social media thing for them? Or, you know, are they thinking, oh, well, you know, let's give it a go. There's enough good here that we can work on it. But we don't see any of that. You know, we saw it in the first few weeks, but then, you know, that first little bit of conflict, and they're just speaking to each other on different planes. It's like they're having a separate conversation with someone else. They're just not hearing each other. So, yeah, these two need to bugger off, to be honest. They're doing my head in now. It's just the whole miscommunication thing. I'm kind of over it. And I do think it's mostly down to him. I think there was something off about him from the start.
He almost like a 60-year-old virgin, isn't he? Really? You know, like the old 40-year-old virgin. He's got no emotional maturity for someone. Intelligence. Yeah, maturity. And that's coming from... That's fucking me saying that because everyone bellends and stuff, but it genuinely is. There's just something off about him. I do agree, Dave, but there was a couple of things I saw from Andrew this week, and I don't know whether, because they're just not compatible, he's bringing a side out to her that she's never felt before. She's, you know, and he, and he is quick to blame. I don't like that. And you probably, in some respect, there was frustration side when she hit the table and that. That was him, because he just sat there in front of everyone in the group and just laid into her. And that was wrong. He's taking no accountability. But you're right. They just need to fuck off now. And I still think the judges, fucking judges, the experts should have...
Someone messaged in the group, and I think you've got everyone else referring them to the judges.
It's worked, Dave. I'm not fucking stupid. It's worked. Oh, fucking brilliant. But I think by the end of the week, with all the couples, like obviously, we had the, I mean, I do like Timothy when they're at the dinner party and he's laying into them and he goes, "You're just fucking fake." I love his dialogue. "You are fake," he's saying to Tori and Jack. And he's right. And what I'm interested in is next week's episodes is John and Mel and Alessandra. They look like they're going to hold him to task again. But where's it going to go? Because we're going to get Tori doing a fucking expressive hand thing. I'm doing it now because she pissed me off. It's nobody's business whatsoever. We're going to be married for 50 years and have no fucking sex, but what's that got to do with you? And it's like, well, you're on a show to find love. That's why you're here. This is what you're telling us. So I'm hoping there's a conclusion to their relationship, because they cannot go to the end. We cannot see the final vows with these two fucking bellends, because there's just not anything real about them. I hope they get booted off next week. I really do.
But the thing is, I mean, if they booted off all the bellends, you'd be left with Ridge and Jade, and who wants to see a week of that? You know, we fucking, you know, we've spent the best part of an hour laying into almost everyone, but we fucking love it. So, so the thing is, and even the producer-led stuff, it's like, Chris, it's so good. And you know what? We're almost at the end now, aren't we? So, you know, it's all going to be wrapping up fairly soon. I'm pretty sure we're going to be into final vows. Is it next week? Is it? Oh, Christ.
I think so. I think the reunion the week after. I think it's the conclusion next week. I think it gets to episode 32 and then we get the reunions. I think.
Yeah.
I'm not looked because I don't want to spoil what the conclusion is. And I love the fact that we've got the chats on the Facebook page, because you've got the UK one as it runs with us as we're watching. And then you've got the Aussie one and it's finished. And a few times I've got in the wrong chat and I'm like, no, come out. Danger, danger. And I've not read anything, luckily. So
I've done it brilliant. Twice.
Yeah, he's brilliant. But anything else, Dave?
No, just again, that point about booting off Tori and Jack. I would be intrigued as to what Tori's game plan is. I mean, I'd also like to understand what she means by, oh, yeah, we're really sexual. You know, we just haven't touched each other that way at all. But, yeah, I've thought about it. I mean,
she's just like
a fucking scratching post in the corner or something.
Dave, all I've heard, the rumor I've heard is that she's going through fucking AA batteries like there's no tomorrow. outside of Australia's on a fucking amnesty now. They think they're back in lockdown. They just can't find fucking Duracell batteries. The fucking bunny's fucking working overtime if they're fucking sexual. What a load of bullshit. Absolute bullshit. That is.
So good we don't have sponsors.
Duracell, if you're listening. I've got a load of TV remotes with batteries. Come on, send them over. Here we go.
Yeah, can you imagine that? The TV, actually, it'd be fucking Timothy and Lucinda, I reckon. It's like,
yeah, probably.
Lucinda, the TV remote control batteries are flat again. I don't know why this keeps happening.
It's very light, the remote. I think the batteries keep going. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what's happened there. Anyway, if anyone's after sponsoring us, you know, just send them over. Oh, fucking
my electric toothbrush tastes funny. Right, yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop.
Gets the plaque out, Dave. Anyway, right, let's go. Fucking, this is taking a sinister turn. So, big thank you to everyone again this week. If you want to email us, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast, please get over to Facebook, Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. Come and join us over there. If you're outside the UK, all the links for the shows are on there from all the great supporters of the podcast, all our friends over there. And if you are outside the UK and you want to watch it like on the E4 app or the Channel 4 app, we do have a NordVPN link in the show description as well, guys. I'll get you a discount as well. So anyway, if you do want to support us, get over to patreon.com/CDRealityCast. And a massive thank you to all our patrons. And a welcome to our newest patron, Stacey. So thank you for joining, Stacey, and supporting us. We really appreciate all your support and everyone's support over on Patreon, past and present. It's amazing. That list just gets bigger and bigger. We're really, really humbled by it. So thank you so much for that. So the roll call of honour for today. So again, big welcome to Stacey, Sinead, Jesse, Kathleen Sims, Andrea, Nick, Danielle, Kim, Amanda, Larissa, Helen, Nicola, Fiona, Cassie, Maggie, Zoe, Gillian, Keith, Helen, Chloe, Joanna, Libby, Katie, Didi, Susan, Hennessy, Lauren, Lucky Lulu Green, and Kent Gustafson. So thank you so much, guys. Unbelievable and brilliant. And we come towards the end of another show. We've just got to decide what we're doing next, Dave. So unbelievable work. Not that I'm just throwing it out there just so you can get the Chris Phelps voodoo doll out and start giving me digs again. But there you go.
You know what? I think the words might have even left my mouth a little bit earlier. But as soon as I did, I wanted to grab them out of the air and put them back in my mouth, which is, what are we going to do when the show is finished? Well, of course, you'll have already got something lined up, I'm sure. So,
how dare you?
We might not have even finished this, but let's see. So, no, we've got a few things, haven't we? That fucking football one. I think it's being shown on Peacock, isn't it? The one with the Premiership footballers or retired Premiership footballers. I do genuinely want to watch that. We've got Love Island starting later this summer, haven't we? I think that starts in June. So we just need something to tie us over into then, probably. Oh, but
my God. Yeah. Amazing. Love Island. You know what? I might go away the first week of June as well. So that could be an issue, Dave. There's no way Sam's allowing me to be sending over to, I'm just going to record the podcast, Dave. I could do it by the beach, maybe as a video call, and we can.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd go down well.
Yeah, that going really well, Dave. Yeah, really well. But anyway, let's see. Let's open
the podcast. We'll do like a video podcast, and you'll come on. You'll have your own little Love Island water bottle. You know, doom, doom, do 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 do. We'll have the music. You'll have the shades on by the pool.
And then Sam's like, can we just go to the fire pit for a chat? What the fuck are you doing? Are we getting divorced by the time we come back, Dave? But anyway, let's hope it's towards the end of June. Absolutely brilliant.
Very good, sir. Very good. Well, it has been a lot of fun to dissect a little bit of last week. It was pretty action-packed, and I'm hoping, again, we kind of maintain some of that. But, it's going to be getting into the final bows, isn't it? So we'll have to get our predictions in, maybe offline. But, Chris, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters, and we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.